Cognitive testing, that's certainly become a term we've heard with an increased frequency, haven't we? It's become the focus of the presidential race and all things political. Now, while we obviously want the person in the Oval Office to have strong mental capabilities, the push of politics, I think, has taken attention away from how cognitive strength is important for all and how the determination of that ability is diminishing. That could be a serious warning sign. My next guest is here to explain what cognitive testing involves, what it can reveal, and how it should be responded to. He's an assistant clinical professor at the Icahn School of Medicine, which is at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City, board-certified in medicine and internal medicine supportive care, specializing in geriatric rehabilitation at the New Jewish Home. Dr. Imran Ali, how are you today, doctor?
Hey, thanks for having me on, Chris.
I'm glad to have you here to clear up confusion and put a proper focus on what cognitive testing and its important role is. MountSinai.org, by the way, for information about Mount Sinai Hospital and medical services they provide, because I think for those, and I never really researched it until doing study for this segment, I think those who have been exposed to it think it's a simple memory test, but there is not one, you know, sort of like we have the SATs coming up next month. The SAT, that's the SAT. That's all there is or ain't no more. With cognitive testing, there are a variety of tests that make up what falls under the umbrella of cognitive testing, isn't there?
Right. So, you know, we all hear that, you know, that we see that clip where President Trump is talking about, you know, the different words that he had to recite back. You know, that's just one little sliver of the memory testing that we do. Most commonly what we use is the Montreal Cognitive Assessment, or otherwise it's called the MoCA. It's a test that can be given in an office setting. But really, to understand cognitive impairment, because it comes in different flavors, it's not only traditional Alzheimer's. It can be, you know, we can see cognitive impairment with, as part of Parkinson's. We also see people having strokes or a seizure, which can affect the brain in certain ways. Sometimes the cognitive impairment can be temporary. And I really want to stress this, because a lot of people are leaving the hospital after surgery where they get a little bit of anesthesia, or they have a, you know, urinary tract infection or something, and they're a little bit confused for a temporary period, and they get slapped with a dementia diagnosis. And that's not right, because, you know, when somebody is senile or they have an official dementia diagnosis, there's a process for it. And I don't like it when people have armchair diagnosis where they're watching TV and they're like, aha, that person has dementia, that person does not, because it's more complicated than like that. I mean, I do simple testing in my rehab center, and I do that cognitive testing that takes maybe about 15, 20 minutes. But then that's only the tip of the iceberg. If I find that there's something not right, then I have to go further and do something more intensive. And usually that's done with a neuropsychiatrist. So that is a psychiatrist who is actually trained in how to assess cognitive abilities. And what they do is a comprehensive neuropsychiatric evaluation. Now, Chris, this is an evaluation that takes up to 3 to 4 hours to complete. I mean, you basically book the whole day, and you undergo several different types of testing. And this testing includes solving different puzzles, looking at different images. I mean, there's even a sniff test where they give you different smells with a blindfold to see if you can distinguish the different smells and attribute what you can name the type of fruit that they are associated with. So it's very complex how the brain is assessed. And it's just not as simple as watching somebody stumble here and there, you know, when they're making a speech.
So, in effect, you can tell me if this is a fair analogy. Much like a stress test is a starting point to better determine a cardiovascular situation, a cognitive assessment is a starting point to better focus on a mental capability where a question might be starting to form.
Right, exactly. You said it. So think of it as if somebody scores poorly on this test that's given in the office, or, you know, some people can even, you know, download different tests. But this is the one that's validated. So you need to have a professional administer it. I'm certified in it, so there's a certification process. But yes, this is just the tip of the iceberg. And remember also that, you know, with Alzheimer's, you know, the whole landscape has changed, because now recently at the International Alzheimer's Conference, we're really taking into account, you know, these things called amyloid protein. So there's amyloid markers. And in fact, you know, that's going to be a part of the whole assessment. You're going to get a blood test. You're going to get some assessment to see how much amyloid you have in your bloodstream. And that's a part of the diagnosis, at least for Alzheimer's type dementia.
Is the problem always going to be something chemical or physical? Because the cognitive testing also includes executive function, abstract reasoning. Or is it just a time in life where you have to confess to yourself, you know, I can't do those 13-hour days anymore at work?
Well, you hit it on the nose, Chris, because a lot of times people don't understand that there's something called pseudo-dementia, is when somebody is under a great stressful event, a traumatic event, or they're undergoing, you know, some kind of surgical procedure, they're acutely ill, they have some kind of super anxious moment or an anxious time in their life. It can be a happy experience or a sad experience. I had a gentleman who was, you know, super anxious about the birth of his grandchild. And that caused him to be a little bit forgetful for a week or two. So, you know, that kind of stressful, that emotional component also cannot be discounted. So that's why when we do these kind of assessments, we try to do them at a time where the patient is not experiencing an emotional stressor, or they're not acutely ill in the hospital. It's the worst time to do a cognitive test, when they're battling an infection or they're just coming out of the ICU, because of course there's going to be some kind of confounding factors. And I think people don't realize that stressful events can affect your memory for sure.
Dr. Imran Ali, Assistant Clinical Professor of the Icahn School of Medicine, Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City, mountsinai.org, their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. For the person that's listening, and first and foremost, is it always an age issue when it becomes time for a cognitive testing, or can it be, you know, much like with a heavy workload, maybe it might hit someone to that degree in their 50s, not necessarily their 70s?
You said it. I mean, absolutely. Age is as we get older, it is shown in studies that our reaction time decreases by a couple of seconds. So there is some neurological issues as we get older. But being old doesn't mean you have to be cognitively deficient. Getting some memory difficulty is not a part of healthy aging. And I want to stress that. People automatically assume, I'm 85. Okay, you know, it's okay for me to forget things. No, it is a sign of something that's going on, and you should get evaluated. But that being said, yes, I have a lot of younger patients who present. It can be something like a car accident, a concussion, you know, whiplash. Now we're seeing it more with COVID, long COVID syndrome. So there are a lot of things that can affect your cognition, and it doesn't have to be just because you're getting old.
Does early detection create a greater likelihood for, if not a reversal of, at least a slowing down of any diminishing cognitive abilities?
It does now, because now we know that these breakthrough medications that came out on the market for Alzheimer's disease, these amyloid protein busters, as I call them, they only work in the very early stages before the protein starts to muck up your system, so to speak. So if there's already so much of it and you're like 5 years into the disease, it's useless. You're just going to have more side effects. And a lot of patients ask me, can I get this new treatment now? And I have to say, unfortunately, no, because it's not going to provide any benefit. So, yes, if you catch it early, you can start using these medications and really slow down the progression potentially. So that's why I really make it a point that people ask their doctors, especially as part of their annual wellness exam, that they do a cognitive screening. Because it should be something that we check, just like cholesterol, diabetes, blood pressure, and whatnot.
It's just a basic fact. The body is our best inner warning system, and to answer it earlier versus later makes a huge, significant difference. Learn more about the programs and all the services that Mount Sinai Hospital provides, mountsinai.org. He is an assistant clinical professor at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City. Dr. Imran Ali, thanks so much for the education about cognitive testing, and hopefully people who are more aware of what it involves and what it provides as far as a better way of understanding if something is amiss, how to address it, and to do it properly. Thanks for being here today.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Chris.